Last class, actually, how I'd like to approach this, and hopefully this can be somewhat participating, at the end of it is really making it happen. We've talked about a lot of things, and that's really what I'd like to do the majority of the discussion tonight, is to discuss the previous nine lessons that we had from a very high level. And perhaps there was some key points that I personally got out of them, but I would appreciate any feedback and things that you may have remembered in some of these classes that struck you to be able to share with the rest of the congregation. We started this 10 weeks ago. Our goal was to become successful Christ-centered stewards of God's resources in our lives and thus good representatives of our faith. And my prayer would be that there were elements of our discussion that allowed us to have personal reflection as individuals and as families about how we are dealing with what God has entrusted us with in our lives. The first study topic we had was on money and stewardship. Anybody remember anything about that class and how we started to build the foundation? If you remember, the first four or five lessons that we really tried to establish a base that was biblically oriented, that were things that we tried to apply the scripture to give us a solid foundation. We talked about money was to be used for God's glory and honor, that He'd entrusted it with us, and not to be something that divided us and kept us from Christ. And then the second half of the lessons that we had were really around taking those biblical principles and then trying to move ourselves into a discussion with regard to some of the tools that our society has provided for us in terms of managing our finances. So, anything about the money class?
I'd like to remind that God owns it all. That premise that we were reminded throughout.
And I think that is the principle that if it goes, that's a key foundation, is that everything that we have, everything is God's, and that we are merely stewards, and this stewardship is that we are overseers of what God has entrusted us with in our lives. I think we also talked about the fact that and we alluded to it a little bit earlier, that there's over 2,300 verses in the Bible that speak to finances, that speak to money. And it's probably one of the largest topics. It's more than prayer in terms of a topic that's talked about in the Bible. And I think we concluded that one of the keys about the discussion was that God must have placed some importance to have talked about it as much in the Scriptures as He did. He must have known that it was going to be a struggle for us in our lives. We talked about also, if you remember the graphic that we had, that it was the wedge. And we talked about the scripture that says that money is the root of all evil. Was that what it says? The love of money. Yeah. And I think it's such a huge issue there, is that money in of itself is neither good or bad. It's what we do with that money, God's money, I might add, that creates the dilemmas, I think, in our lives. Other thoughts about that, those series of classes? I liked the fact, too, that we talked about that money is kind of an index of our character. It kind of points to where our heart is, you know, is where our treasure is at. And, you know, you can tell an awful lot about a person's character by how they spend their money. And I like that point, because it's kind of one of those things that cause you to call time out and stand back and reflect a little bit. The next class we had was about contentment. Does anybody remember anything about that class? The thing I liked about this particular class was that we made the point that this was about a competition for God's love. You know, the love of money or the love of God. And trying to put God at the center of what we're doing. And that we talked about contentment, that the goal was is that no matter what condition or situation we might find ourselves in our lives, that the challenge to all of us was to be content. And that, again, was a biblical. We showed several scriptures about that contentment, and that again, realizing that what God has entrusted us with is what he's asked us to be stewards over. Anybody else have any thoughts about the contentment?
Well, I think also this is where we talked about basically God's probably given us what we can handle.
And I remember Sister Glenna talking, you know, when she gave her testimony, she used the verse 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I think that verse is very applicable too. Is that God's, you know, similar? God's not going to put us in a situation we can't make the right decisions, and that I think that what he gives to us, that we can make the right decisions with it, and he's not going to give us more than what we can handle. Yeah, it's a great point. Other thoughts on contentment? Tithes and offerings. Remember much about this one?
First 10%. That's what tithe means, is
10%. And I thought there were some great scriptures that we pointed to that really talked about the tithe and the example, and it existed before the law. It went back to Abraham and giving a tithe to Melchizedek. The priest, and I thought that was a great point, because we before God ever commanded it, you know, in terms of, you know, people say what was the law said, you know, he had to give the tithe, and it preexisted that, which I thought was a great point. The other thing I liked about this is that it again underscored the whole fact that everything is God's. And the tithe was to be of the first fruits. We talked about some of that topic this morning about the first fruits, and it's the best. And what God asked for us to give to him because we want to, not because we feel obligated to, but because of our love for what he's done for us, is to give him that first 10%. And then he also talked about in Malachi, if you remember, and I love the verse, it talks about, you know, test me. It's the only place in the scriptures, I think, we talked about that God says, you know, test me, prove me, and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and bless you and shower you with blessings if you're putting me first in your tithes. The other thing that we talk about was what is an offering? What was the difference between a tithe and an offering?
Offerings are over and above your tithe.
Right. The tithe we talked about, and the target of the tithe, who is the tithe to be given to?
We talked about the
Lord, but I think in his church is where that tithe went. Offering, sometimes we may give above as our heart leads us to give above and beyond that 10%. I think we talked about in the fact that it may be to a ministry that the church has that we're giving above and beyond in that tithe. But it also may be things and other needs that we see that are consistent with what God would have us to do to reach out our community, that we may ourselves give above and give to a charity within our community itself. We talked about the tithe is a good start. That's the expectation, and then to challenge ourselves to look beyond that. And I think that in over in Proverbs, we talked about the third chapter, verses 3-9, that the blessings of the tithe. And we always read, I think, 3 and 5, but if you read all those verses 3-9, that there actually is a much broader context about how God will bless us if we're giving to him. Anything else on tithes and offerings? Giving guide. Does anybody remember this one? We kind of rolled this one in, I think, with the tithes and offerings, but we talked quite a bit about, you know, is this on your gross or on your net? And I think it was Brother Jim that said, do you want to be blessed on your gross or on your net? I think, again, what we concluded was, again, is that the tithe was to be given on, again, under the principle that 100% of what you have or what you earn is God's. And we kind of talked about, you know, back in the Old Testament days, that an awful lot of what their earnings were based on the agricultural society, and so in some cases they may have been paying taxes, but in all cases they might not have had taxes. And we kind of say, well, we want to, you know, take the taxes off, and we want to take off what we may have debts for, and then what we have left over, then we'll give a tenth of that. And I think that we concluded that really is not in keeping, and actually violates the principle of a tenth and what a tithe is. Other thoughts on that one? Rags or riches and lifestyle. Much thought about what that discussion was? I think we talked a little bit about two opposing theological philosophies that are actually promoted in our society and in the world. There's one group of individuals that say that it's really health and prosperity, and that if you're not being blessed, if you're, you know, being by God, then you're doing something wrong. And then there was the other side is to deny yourself, total denial, and live in poverty. And I think that we concluded that again, part of it is that we need to be content, you know, where we're at in our life. It goes back to the earlier lesson. And if God gives us and blesses us with a lot, the question is, you know, what are we doing with what God has blessed us with? If he has blessed us with little, you know, the happiness and the peace of mind and the contentment that the person has is not a function of how much they have or don't have. And God wants us to be content no matter what state that we're in. We also concluded, though, is it wrong to be rich? Does it mean that we can't enjoy, that we couldn't have a nice car, or does it mean that we couldn't have a boat, or that we couldn't take trips and enjoy ourselves? No. Although there are some people would want us to make feel guilty. Again, it gets back to the intent, and this was, you know, God is the discerner of our hearts, but we talked many, many times where our heart is where our treasure, you know, where our treasure is where our heart is at. And we should always be looking to heaven in terms of where we're looking and keeping our eyes. Anything else on this one? We really talked a lot about what God's plan for our life is. And that really is a lot about this entire series of lessons, of always trying to go back and say, you know, what would God have me to be doing? How's it flowing? Anybody remember that one? Yeah, we talked a lot about cash flow being how much I've got coming in versus how much I've got going out. We talked about that there are really four areas to utilize our money with. The first was tithing. The second one was taxes. The third one was paying off debt. And the fourth was what we're spending for our lifestyle. Now, there were elements in our budget that we set up that were around lifestyle, that, you know, were we going out and going to Starbucks every day? You know, were there areas that we could cut in our budgets, looking back and forth? I think what we concluded is that, you know, the tithing, the taxes, and the debt were probably things that were pretty fixed on a monthly basis. And so the only area that we really had a lot of flexibility in was our lifestyle and the choices that we make. And what could we do to manage our cash flow and those components of it that we can control. Other thoughts or comments on this one? Sharing risk. We talked about insurance. We talked about life insurance was one of the key elements of types of insurance. There are other types, but what was the one reason that we concluded that we should have life insurance?
Love. Yeah.
Again, it's trying to look forward. I mean, as an individual, that you have a life insurance policy on yourself. If you pass away, you know it's not going to be a big deal. It's out of that love for your family and things that are close to you that you care a lot about, that life insurance, I think, is really important to consider. The other types of things we talked about, life or health insurance, we talked about property insurance. We talked about auto insurance. And there were a lot of things that we talked about with regard to insurance, you know, what, how much deductible, little deductible, a lot of a deductible. And again, each situation in our families and our lives will dictate a different set of choices and actions with regard to insurance. And I think even with budgets, everything, and I think that was the thing that I hope that we were able to set a foundation on, is that God's principles should be applied equally in all our lives. The verses and the scriptures are consistent for all of us. But the application in terms of the, where we're at in our personal lives and the choices that we make may be different for me than they would for Brother Steve or Sister Brenda. There's all those different types of choices that are there. And what we try to do is to set a foundation and provide tools against which to make those types of decisions in our life. Quicksand, debt. Remember much about this one?
Too much.
Is debt bad?
No, it's if you let it control you.
Right.
The can be.
Discretionary types of debt.
Yeah. It's the same as money. I mean, it's how you use it.
Right.
Well, I think one of the things we talked about was is that when you have lots of debt, it does create a lot of stress. And that stress then can create tension within relationships. We talked about how if you got a lot of debt and you're just being able to pay the minimum, that the life expectancy, whatever it is that you may have put on debt, may be used up and thrown away, and you're still paying on it. And I think that one of the things that I kind of remembered about this is that we talked about there was two types of debt. And again, it was more a general rule of thumb that we talked about. Good debt is if it's going to, if you're using that debt to, and it's whatever you're purchasing and putting on credit, if it's going to increase in value, then maybe that's a good thing. You know, we talked about perhaps education, getting into a business, you know, a mortgage. Again, recognizing that you can overextend yourself and even things that you think are going to give you a return. So that's not a hard and fast rule of thumb. The other thing that we talked about was is that the bad type of debt is if it's going to lose in value. So whatever you're purchasing is going to lose in value. We talked about cars as potentially being one thing that it continues to lose in value, when sometimes you get to the end or you need to get rid of your car or something happens to it and you owe more than what the value of it is. But we also talked about that there's other types of debt that would be probably somewhere in between that's necessary, and that if you have an emergency, if you're not overextended on your debt, then being able to take money out because you find yourself in a financial strait that was unanticipated and you didn't have the cash reserves. And so, you know, that type of debt, I think, can be a positive thing. It certainly isn't what you would plan for, but being aware that's a use of debt. Other comments on this? I think one of the other things we talked about in debt is it actually can restrict our spiritual growth. That if we're so focused on the debt and that creates so much stress that we're not able to keep our eyes on God, that it can really restrict. Becomes such a tension point within a relationship.
Where our society is really does not go along with what God teaches us in the Bible. I mean, take debt, you should be able to repay it. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, they'll loan you a whole lot more money than you can ever plan on repaying.
Well, and we did talk about, you know, the principles and that debt isn't wrong. I mean, it's biblical and there's examples, but it's clear that you know, one of the principles about it is that you're almost a slave to whoever it is that extends that debt to you. One of the other things was that the scriptures actually talks about is if you're going to be somebody who extends credit to somebody, that the biblical principle is that it not be usury, and not excessive. And that's where we find a lot in our society today. I just caught the end yesterday of a show on TV. It was about the history of credit card debt. Right.
Some legislation that he enacted back in the early 80s.
Yeah. It's a relatively, I mean, there's been a lot around for debt for obviously, you know, thousands of years, but in terms of credit card debt, you know, that's a relatively new phenomenon. And that's the one that gets a lot of people in trouble.
Mortgage that they cap it at a percent of income, because you can keep getting these credit cards and get out of control.
Right.
We talked about there's some of us, it probably feels like we don't go by a month without getting one or two solicitations to have a credit card.
Okay. Are you able, if you're taking short-term debt, putting stuff on credit cards, are you paying it off every month?
Right.
That's not a bad way to increase your credit. Or if you take out a mortgage, like I said, you're overextending yourself, where every month you're living for your mortgage.
Right.
And that's where you get back. And if you're living from paycheck to paycheck by choice, because you've extended yourself, that's where the type of self-reflection needs to come in. Again, we've also talked, and I think what's really important is that sometimes we may find ourselves what looks nice on paper and what you'd like to be able to do doesn't always work that way. And some of those things that you know, we may be being tested by God, we may not fully understand it, but hopefully when we look back and if we live through some of those difficult situations, which I'm sure most all of us have, if not all of us have lived through those types of situations, that there's things that we reflected on and grown in our lives, and sometimes you don't understand. And that's where we have to trust God. Anything else on this one? Cash reserves and liquid investments, and then investments, we kind of lumped those all together in a couple lessons. What was the difference between cash reserves, liquid investments, and investments? Does anybody remember? There were three different types.
Cash reserves and savings, isn't it?
Yeah, we talked about the cash reserves kind of really being short-term, and so it had to be very liquid, and maybe a checking account, savings account, maybe, you know, something that had a 90-day CD, something of that nature that we looked at. And we said that in a perfect world, if we could stand back, that it would be nice to have 3 to 6 months of cash for something that if it happened. I think we all kind of smiled a little bit and said, you know, that is a perfect world. The perfect world doesn't appear to exist. But we talked then about maybe, you know, having $1,000 or $1,500, you know, to have some cash reserve there. And we talked about the peace of mind that can have is when you know that you have a small reserve that is liquid that you can put your hands on. When something happens inevitably, you know, you've got a nice budget and it all seems it's working well, and then it just takes one thing to kind of throw the balance off. And having a little bit of cash reserve to be able to deal with that can be a great peace of mind in our lives. The liquid investments, I think we kind of talked about, was really, they could be long-term investments or intermediate types of investments. We talked more about, longer-term CDs and bonds, treasuries, treasury bills, but things that typically, you know, that were liquid, you could get out, but you're not going to be penalized long-term if you take the money out. For example, that the long-term investments to me were more in the line of retirement, and so that the IRAs and 401ks or 403b types of things that you're planning for your retirement for the future, that if you actually took it, there's a penalty, a strong penalty, in addition to a tax that you might have to pay on top of it. And so that's kind of where I saw the three different types of investments that we really talked about. We talked about different vehicles, you know, whether you put your money in equities or bonds or CDs. We talked about the risk reward. If you remember, we had some graphs that we talked about. And if you take more risk, then the potential of multiplying your money was going to grow faster, but there was sometimes a risk that all of a sudden if something goes south and you don't have a long-term view of what you're investing in, overnight we could you could lose a lot. And some of us, you know, I don't know if I told you the story, and some of you may have had other stories too, but Wendy and I took out $4,000 in IRAs right at the height of the dot-com, and it was going up, and we had $4,000 in there, and within a week, the dot-com went boom, and that $4,000 that we invested was worth less than $1,000 combined. And so, you know, again, it was all put in one place. And so the point is that, you know, IRAs, you know, you have choices of whether or not you want to be, you know, take risk and have a long view. And there could be high reward. I mean, there's people that were really piling up, you know, double digits, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, doubling their money in a year during that period of time. But they were found themselves in a position that virtually overnight they lost everything because they were all invested in just one area. You know, Enron was another place. Some people had their entire amount of money that they had saved for retirement was invested in virtually overnight. It went away. Other thoughts on this area? This is the one that it was more having a dialogue, and I really would encourage people that as you look at making decisions about retirement and establishing different accounts, that this is where I think going and talking to somebody like at a Fidelity or Charles Schwab, and they have individuals who can sit down and understand your personal situation and give you the choices and the options. We talked about retirement. Anybody remember anything about that? Is it biblical? The thing I remembered about this one was that the only example that was really given in the Bible that was biblical was the Levi priest that at the age of 55 or 50, I think it was age 50, that they were not required to attend to the temple ministry. We talked about retirement is not retiring from God's work. And that example about the Levite priest was that they were to continue in their role as leaders with of the tribe of Levites, the priestly tribe. I think we talked about that this is a topic because it seems so far away, we don't sit down and we don't plan for. It's really important to talk about what am I going to do, what are we going to do when we retire, to kind of have an idea that you're planning towards so that you know. Asking yourself the question of how much is enough. And this is where we had the discussion, you know, society would say that you got to have 95% of your when you retire, of your income, to be able to retire okay. Some of us talked about, you know, I look at my mom and my dad, and it's incredible to me what they are able to live on. That it just amazes me. What's that? Through planning. Yeah. And so, you know, are you pointing towards to where when you retire that you want to be debt free? I mean, there's all sorts of things that talking about and looking on the horizon are things that can allow us to achieve our goals and to achieve them. And I think that we talked about that it's really important. We gave biblical examples of how being able to planning was something was very biblical and something we're probably not as good at as we should be. Last week we talked about passing it on. Anybody remember many of those principles?
That all that we've had in our life is God's concept of stewardship in passing it on. And what would we want done with that to express His wishes?
Yeah, that was a point that really struck home with me, is that what we're passing on, we talked about it being wealth transfer, but what we're passing on is we're really passing on God's assets. And sometimes I think we get up and we see examples to where we're passing on and we're passing on to our families, and we're not asking the question of how is that money going to be used. You know, it's not that, you know, people are going to make the choices once that they inherit something, they will make choices. But I don't think, and one of the things I thought was really good was to say and ask yourself, how are they going to use that money? Are we setting them up to fail by giving them something that maybe they struggle with in their own life? By giving somebody something that's quite a bit, is it actually going to pull them away from their service with the Lord? It's going to create a stumbling block for them. What is their spiritual maturity? I think that these were types of things we talked about also, that giving everybody something equally was not necessarily, that's the first thing that comes in our mind, well, we'll just split it equally. But that again, that may not be the right thing to do. You may have the age of who you're wanting to give it to may dictate how much they're given, their health, a lot of different things, that factors that need to be looked at. We talked about it can get very complex. We talked about a lot of tools. But I think we talked about three things that were really important. That having a will, even if you just sit down and write it on a piece of paper, talking about advanced directives, that was very important. We talked about being able to be able to share with your loved ones, if you come to a point to where you can't make choices for yourself about your own health, what decisions do you want to have made around your life? Do you want to be kept alive with a ventilator? You know, those types of things, that if you haven't had that dialogue with your family, can actually put your family at odds, because there may be varying views, and each child or member of the family may be dealing with something different about, you know, in their own personal lives, that dictate the types of choices that they think that you want made for your life. And the other one was the power of attorney, of being able to identify somebody that's available. You know, and Wendy would be for me, but if something happened to me, then we've identified somebody else that would have that authority to make decisions. Those are important things to dialogue. Some of those are the most difficult things because they're dealing with your own mortality. But they're important for us to consider, because again, it's God's resources that we're talking about passing on. So how do we make it all happen? A lot of great topics. I mean, I didn't really know where the journey was going to take me when I started on this, but there was an awful lot of self-reflection. But, you know, talk is cheap, they say. So you know, what is it that we can do? You know, has this series of lessons caused you in your own personal life and your marriage to have dialogue? I hope that it has. I hope that it's had value. Whether you're married or not married, in terms of talking about how finances and you're using God's, what He's blessed you with. I know that this is kind of wordy, but I want to read this, or there's a lot on here, but I really think that this is a great challenge to us all. And I think it's reflective of the dialogue that we've had for the last several weeks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh, where your heart, where your treasure is. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and this is Jesus speaking, and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and diggeth deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, we've always heard this, those of us that have grown up in church, is the song. The wise men build his house upon the rock, and the song that we all sing. But I think this principle really, you know, applies a lot to this whole topic of Christian finance. You know, we've talked about establishing a biblical foundation. You know, what's the foundation that we're building our lives upon? And our entire lives need to be built upon Christ as our foundation. But I think everything we've talked about finance, you know, it's important to point out that if you don't have a solid foundation against which you're making these decisions, which face us every day about what God has blessed us to have, that I think that we're running counter to what the Scripture tells us. And I don't think sometimes we think about when we're spending our money or making those decisions that we're really thinking about it's God's resources that He's given us and blessed us with. And I really liked the analogy and the use of these verses against which, you know, we're making decisions in our life about our finances. Comments on this? Has God showed you things in your finances that need to be changed? Will your house be built in a way that's unshakable? I think as we come to an end here, that these are the questions that I hope that we're all asking ourselves. What are some of the challenges to taking action? What keeps us from taking action? What stops us from being good stewards? You may know what steps to take, but what keeps you from taking those steps? What are the barriers to making it happen? Greed? I think some people, you know, that you know, they want more and more and more. So their focus, you know, where their treasure is, their identity is wrapped up in the things. You know, that's what society tells us, and that's what society scores. But I think it's a key challenge sometimes to doing it because, you know, being a good steward sometimes means maybe taking away from me. I can't focus always on myself. Pride? You know, sometimes we're so focused on I that we don't think we have a problem. That's different than just pure greed. You know, greed can be wrapped up in pride, but we can have pride, the pride of life, and think things are just going along, and we're not even asking ourselves or seeing that we have a need until all of a sudden you wake up one day and you've got a problem with your finances. Envy? Envy can be a real challenge because it's keeping up with the Joneses. You know, once I'm able to get this or this or this or this, you know, so I can kind of hang with my neighbors or my friends, then I'll start thinking about, you know, putting God in the equation. Insecurity. You know, sometimes our insecurities themselves create a challenge for us to see a need to be better stewards of what God has entrusted us with. Does that make sense? Insecurities in the sense that my identity, if I choose to want to live on a minimalist and choose to be less, that other people may think less of me. So it can almost be a self-esteem type of a thing. Again, you can wrap all these together. There's subtleties that are here, but I think that there's the subtleties are worth at least exploring a little bit. I can remember growing up that my insecurities really kept me from doing a lot of things that I thought was right because, you know, I thought that I would be looked upon by my friends in a way that was uncomfortable with me or I didn't want them to look at. Right choices. So I would make wrong choices. And I think it can apply to finances also. Fear. Fear of the unknown. Is God really going to, when He says test me, is He really going to step up and do what He says? It's kind of scary to think that God, we would question in our mind that God would necessarily, you know, deliver what He's promised. What's that?
Hoarding versus saving.
Hoarding versus saving, absolutely. It's a great example. Yeah. Fear of failure. Some people don't even want to go down the journey because they're afraid of failure. If I make a commitment, I'm saying I'm going to do it and then I don't achieve it, then I'm just going to be another example of not being able to be successful. Fear of the failure of others. You may say, well, what does that mean? Well, part of this we've talked about is some of it is entrusting our resources to other people. It may be, you know, I'm going to keep all my money in my mattress, so I'm not going to invest it anywhere because they're not going to be a good steward of my money that I entrust them with. So sometimes people will throw those types of barriers up in terms of the choices they make about their finances. Fear of the first step, just paralyzing of not knowing what to do, of change itself. I may not like the challenge I've got, but at least I know what it is. So taking that first step and going down a road of change, you know, change we can control and we can influence. If we do nothing, we don't have any control over it all. If we just let it happen to us. And I think God has given us a roadmap. He's given us a foundation. And the scriptures have pointed us in the right direction of the types of choices we should make. Ignorance. Now, I think this one is one that some people, well, what do you mean by ignorance? Well, I don't know where to start. This stuff is over my head. I don't know. And so, again, people just get paralyzed and say the mountain is too high. And what we need to do is we just need to start. There was a comment made once about Walter Chrysler. Anybody know who Walter Chrysler is? Yeah. More money is lost because of indecision than there ever was the wrong decision. Now, I'm sure that you can debate that, but there is some wisdom in that. That if you do nothing, you know, you're just going to repeat the same thing again and again and again. We have to step out. And that's what faith is all about, Hebrews 11:1. Lack of time. I don't have time to worry about this. I think they're all just excuses. And the last slide, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. When it gets down to it, this is talking about stewardship. What have we done with what God has blessed us with? Whether it's a little or a lot. Anybody have any last comments or questions?
Good job.
Thank you. Thanks.
Excellent.
I got a lot out of it. And I hope you did too.
We did too.
Okay, if nothing else, if we all stand.